Bibles up to Matthew chapter 20. We're going to start in the very same passage this week as we started last week. We're looking at among ourselves to see if there are additional men here that can serve in the role of deacon. We started looking last week at service, and we looked at all of us are responsible in our service to God. I want to piggyback on that this morning and look at the fact that we're all servants of one another. Servant is the life of a saint, and Jesus is emphasizing that. In Matthew chapter 20, we want to start where we started at last week. We just kind of pull out a few different things. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 20, you have James and John. They have their mother come and kind of grease the wheels a little bit. And they ask in verse 21, Jesus said, "What do you want? Why are you here?" And she said unto him, "Grant that these my two sons may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left in your kingdom." So what you've got here is selfish ambition. You have James and John. They are looking and thinking about earthly thrones, just like what David said on. And they want the chief seats beside it. They want those seats of preeminence. And they get their mom to intercede. Jesus answers it basically in two different ways. He starts in verse 22, it says, "You don't know what you're asking for." The first thing he begins to emphasize is, you might think that these are seats of leisure, but you need to open your eyes. What you're asking for is not some crown and a throne where you sit and you're going to have people dropping grapes in your mouth. The first thing is, you don't know what you're asking for. The second thing is in the last phrase in verse 23, It's not mine to give. It shall be given to them for whom it's prepared by my Father. First of all, you don't know what you're asking for. Second of all, you're asking me something that's not my right. It's not my role. My Father gives this, not me. And then, as we reminded ourselves last week, others got mad about that in verse 24 because they were also looking at that same ambitious desire too. That's my seat you're after. And here's where Jesus began to say, you know how it is in earthly realms. You have kings, you have governors, you have rulers. So that's not how it is in my kingdom. It's a kingdom where the greatest serve, not be served. And then he uses himself as an example. My Father is the one who gives this out. And he has set up a manner in which it's given. And it's through serving, not being served. And so we're going to talk this morning. Last week we looked at our responsibility to serve God. We do it voluntarily. We do it submissively. We do it faithfully. We do it continually. But what about our role in serving each other? Selfish ambition can be a big, big hindrance to that. And what we're seeing here is the disciples struggled with this. And this is after spending 2.5, 3 years with Jesus. It's ridiculous to think that me and you can't struggle with this. So let's look today, as we look at our role as a servant toward each other. Jesus didn't just teach about it. And by the way, he did teach about it. Think about the parable of the Good Samaritan. That the emphasis and the examples and the applications we ought to make about that is just of incredible service. Service out of compassion. Service that was courageous. Because who knew where those murderers and those thieves were? They could still be in the area. So there was service done at risk of own life. There was service done that was personal. He didn't just send off money to some place and say, "Why don't you see this problem?" No, he got his hands dirty. And it was service that kind of overcame prejudices. Because we think about the Jews not liking Samaritans. Well, that was reciprocated. Samaritans didn't like the Jews either. And he could have easily just looked at him and said, "Yeah, now you're getting what's yours, buddy. Hey, have a good night." A service of... That's what the whole parable is about. Just an example of service. And then with the application being, we need to serve just like that. So Jesus did teach it, but he also lived it. Look in John chapter 13. Look in John 13. There was nothing that was too big for Jesus, for him not to pay attention.
He was never too tired, never too hungry for blind or beggars or children. He saw needs and he served. In John 13, you'll remember, this is the night that he's going to be betrayed. This is the night Judas is going to sell him out. And yet here he is fixing to wash Judas's feet. That's what John 13 is. We're in that upper room. This is right before the Passover feast. And the apostles would have never stooped to this. And yet here Jesus is showing them where greatness is. Remember what he taught them earlier in Matthew 20. To be great, you serve, not see how much you can get served. And in John chapter 13, verse 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things to his hands, knowing that he came from the Father and would go to the Father, and yet here he is, humbling himself and washing the feet of others. Knowing full well, that's what seems to be what verse 3 is emphasizing. Knowing who he is, which infers he knows who they are not, and yet there he is, humbling himself to that. What an incredible lesson. And then starting in verse 12, he says, this is an example for you. I've humbled myself in order to serve somebody else. Now you do it too. Turn back to Mark chapter 6. You remember the feeding of the multitudes? Of course we do. It's one of our favorite examples. One of our favorite of the miracles that Jesus did. Do you remember the setting before that? Do you remember what happened prior to that incredible show of power over nature? And Jesus had a long time. It had been a busy day. And he's looking for a little bit of rest. Look in Mark chapter 6. Verse 31. He said to them, talk about to the disciples, come yourselves apart into a deserted place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going. They had had no leisure so as much to eat, and they departed to a deserted place by ship privately. Jesus has had a long day. It says in verse 31 that there's a lot of coming and a lot of going. There have been people just filling his time. And he gets to the disciples, he gets them alone, and he said, let's just kind of separate a little bit. We haven't had time to eat ourselves. So they get in a boat and they start trying to cross. Well, they don't try, they cross. They cross the Sea of Galilee. But all those people that had taken up the day, well, they see where they are going and they see where they're heading. And in verse 33, when the people saw them departing, many knew him, they ran thither from the cities, they outwent them and came together to them. In other words, they beat them. So you can picture kind of the sea, and they see where they're headed, so they hide, so they just beat it out, and they start getting there. And when the ship lands on the other side, the same people he had left over here are waiting for him over there. He's looking for a deserted area. He's looking for some rest. The old King James says, looking for some leisure. It's been a long day. And he gets over there, and there they are. Verse 34. Jesus, when he came out, he gets out of the boat. He saw the many people, and he was moved with compassion toward them, because they were sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach many things. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, this is the deserted place. Now the time has passed. Send them away that they may go to the country around them and into the villages and buy themselves bread. They have nothing to eat. And then the miracle that we're so familiar with takes place. What about all this before it? What you're seeing is, here's Jesus, even when tired, even after long days. Again, here's the servant's heart. Here's this compassionate heart who sees needs and puts them even above his own. So no, Jesus didn't just teach in Matthew 20 about if you want to be great, you serve. He didn't just teach in his parables. Serving is important. He lived it right in front of them. And he lived it consistently. So now let's apply this to us. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5.
We serve God. That is our ultimate purpose of being here. But we also serve each other. And Jesus spent a lot of time showing that. Spent a lot of time teaching that. So yes, we are in the process, and we'll look more specifically at deacons in the next service. But we're just looking at just the heart of a servant. Last week, our heart just serving God and doing it willingly and doing it continually. But it doesn't end there. If we love Him, we love His people. And a part of our service is not just single to Him, but we serve each other. And Jesus spent a lot of time with that. But like the disciples, we can fail. Selfish ambition gets in the way. You might not have had time to read your bulletin, but don't neglect that. Really good article in there about it from a friend of mine. I'm just going to kind of pull out a couple of phrases. But he says some are looking to be on the receiving end of services, but they feel little need to give back to their brothers and sisters. But he said, we can always do better. He said, we can always serve people better. But to those that have been served, he says, be grateful for the help that you've received in the past and look at our own opportunities to serve others. I just took, you know, two or three sentences out of an entire article, but that's what he's talking about, this type of service. Service to each other. We like it when we're on the receiving end of it. Maybe even we expect it when we're in need. Eyes never open to seeing how we can do it to somebody else. What's the problem with that? Well, disciples, the problem seemed to be they had some competition among themselves. And they had these ideas of this pecking order. Mom, go help me with this. That we can have that same problem. Selfish ambition can control us a little bit as well. But there's something deeper. And it might be that Paul's talking to the Galatians about that. Look in verse 13. Galatians 5, verse 13. Brethren, you have been called to freedom. So let's make sure we understand. We are not slaves anymore if we be brethren. He's talking to Christians there. That doesn't apply to all of us here. We've never obeyed God's call to get us out of bondage. But the brethren have. He says, you are not slaves anymore. Brethren, you have been called to freedom, to liberty. Only use not liberty. Do not just use your freedom for an occasion to the flesh, but by love, serve one another. Maybe there's the problem. And maybe that's a whole lot more deeper rooted than selfish ambition. The selfish ambition just kind of feeds off of it. The problem may not be, and we don't know. The problem may be, we just don't love enough. I don't think anybody here has been shocked in the last 10 minutes. So Christians are supposed to serve? Christians are supposed to take care of their brethren? I don't think there's anybody shocked here. But I also doubt that there's a one of us here who would not honestly say, I can be better. I can do it better. And this may be the problem. I've got to love more. I've got to love my brethren more. I've got to love their needs more. I've got to love their life more. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Jesus loved. And that's why he was able to do so much when he was tired. And when me and you had got off that boat, it very well maybe was, buddy, it's just, hey, you come back tomorrow. It's been a long day for me. I spent all day. Just leave me alone a little bit. Jesus, it said, was filled with compassion. Maybe there's a problem. Philippians chapter 2, maybe this is our problem. And again, here's where that selfish ambition can kind of creep in a little bit. Remember in John chapter 13, he didn't just teach about it, he showed them. He knew who he was, he knew where he came from, and he knew where he was going. 5 seconds later, where he was going was hands and knees so he could wash some nasty, smelly, dirty feet. We think our feet might get dirty every now and then, but we take baths constantly. We are not walking sandaled in dirt roads and fields. Our dirty feet wouldn't compare to theirs. And yet there he is. Philippians chapter 2. What's our problem? Maybe this is it. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. There's James and John. Give me this seat of preeminence. I want a seat where people are looking up to me, doing things for me. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. This is the anti-selfishness verse. And it's one of the hardest passages me and you can read in the New Testament. This goes against almost everything that's inherent about us. It goes against almost everything we have been taught from school on. We've been taught our business culture says you get all you can get. And you step on whoever you have to step on to get those promotions and to get the... You take care of yourself. That's what this culture teaches. It's what this country teaches. In lowliness of mind, let each, that's every last one of us, esteem others, that's everybody else, as better than themselves. That's not easy to do. Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. That is not easy to do. It takes 3 seconds to read it, and it takes a life of fighting to try to develop this mindset. Verse 5, and now we get to the heart of it. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And now we know it is possible. Our culture would say verse 3 is ridiculous. Our culture would say verse 4 is impossible. The very next sentence is, Jesus did it. He esteemed others greater than himself. He saw their needs above his own. Father, let this cup pass from me. That's what I would like. Nevertheless, that's putting the needs of others above his own. That's esteeming others above himself. We won't stoop because maybe we think we're better than that. There are things beneath us and below us. And my skill level's too good for that. My talent level's too good for that. My intelligence is too good for that. Jesus just said, where's the need? And let me add it. There's our example. So no, we're not just serving God. We're serving each other. And there's a lot of incredibly powerful, hopefully life-changing principles that he's teaching about this. So after observing the master teacher, we've got to learn to serve better. Not just our friends, not just those best of friends. That's kind of easy. Not just when it's convenient. That basically by definition is saying when it's easy. Not just when it doesn't cost us anything like time or money or effort. Anybody can serve then. We sing a song sometimes. I'm not sure the name of it, but oh, the things we may do, you and I. Oh, the things we can do if we try. Again, I don't know. I can't remember what the title of that is, but you know the song. Turn to Luke chapter 6. God doesn't just ask us of these things. He also tells us what we get out of it. There are some benefits that we get out of being this servant that we sing about and that we read about, that Jesus set the example of. Some of those benefits are immediate, some are eternal. So let's kind of look real quickly at both of them. There's some immediate blessings that come out of this servant spirit. And that is the joy that comes out of doing something for somebody else. Just the joy of feeling productive. Now, the sad thing is, unfortunately, we live in a culture where some would not even acknowledge. They'll show no appreciation, but others will. And that can set us on fire. We have all, I would hope, done something nice for somebody, gone out of the way for somebody, and you know it touched them. You could tell they were appreciative. And what that makes us want to do is do it again. Where can I find somebody else I can do such good things for? So there's these immediate blessings and benefits such as the joy. There's also some immediate benefits by reciprocation. Look in Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Do not be surprised when you as a servant get served.
Don't be surprised at that at all. Luke 6, verse 38, give and it'll be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. Don't be surprised when the servants in this room get served. Jesus says that's what happens. Again, there are people who will not even acknowledge what you did, but there are others who will appreciate it. And it very well may be, when the tables have turned, you'll be the one on the receiving end of that. Don't be surprised by that. And also the benefit of, this could very well be one of the things that opens up somebody's eyes to the gospel. Somebody that might not be spiritual, somebody that might not be, as the word would say, religious, but they see something in us. They see this given spirit. They see this servant's spirit. And that might be the thing that opens up their ears to hearing about the only one that can get them out of darkness. As Paul told the Galatians, the only one that can get them out of that bondage and make them free in a spiritual sense. So there are immediate blessings and benefits that come from the servant. But look in Matthew 25. More importantly, there's eternal blessings. Jesus said, don't be surprised if the servant gets served. But that, even if that were true, even if we go through our whole life around a bunch of sour balls, around a bunch of sticks in the mud, around a bunch of people who do never, ever appreciate the good you are doing, even if there were no immediate benefits of it, well, that's okay. I hope you and I don't live our life like that. I hope that's not the people that make up our whole life. But even if it is, that's okay because the eternal benefits far outweigh it. Again, we're looking at a parable Jesus taught in verse 34. The king will say unto them on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the earth. For I was hungry, you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited. I was in prison and you came. And the righteous will say, Lord, when did we do this? Lord, I appreciate it. Those are some really good compliments you just gave me. But wow, I just don't remember it. When did I see you? When were you on that road? When were you in that bed? When were you in these dire straits? When did I do these things for you? Verse 40, the king will answer and say, verily I say unto you, as often, as much as you did it to the least of my brethren, you did it to me. Do we see the application to that? When we serve others, we're really serving the Lord. Now, with that in mind, now backtrack mentally to Philippians chapter 2. We esteem others better than ourselves. We serve them. We put their needs above our own. We serve them. Does that become easier when we see them as the Lord? Because there's not one of us here on even our bad days, our struggling days, that if we were literally in the presence of the Lord, we wouldn't real quick try to see if there's something we could do for Him. And the application of this parable is, he says, I'm going to bless the ones who do it to my people, and I'm going to see them as doing it to me. So yeah, we serve the Lord, but we serve each other as well. And the application, the invitation today is, we can do both of those better. So we're going to fix it to really emphasize the deacon role of servant in our next lesson. But we're just trying to get the idea of servant, period. If we get the idea of servant, finding specific servants becomes a whole lot easier. Get your song books out. Churches that are at peace are servants. The churches that have peace are those who have this mindset of serving the brethren. And if you think back to, unfortunately, churches aren't always at peace. And you think back in your time when you've been at a place where that was not true, you know what was missing? Exactly what we talked about today. Putting others ahead, putting others' needs ahead, the idea of submitting to one another. Churches that are not at peace are churches where service to one another is not a big priority. It influences so much. So let's take these lessons to heart, the service that of God that we're to render, the service to one another that we're to render, and from this day on, we're going to be better at them both. If anybody needs to do anything in a public way, do it while we stand and sing.